Position of Project Censored. This broadcast is intended for educational purposes as part of our mission to promote critical media literacy, independent journalism, and civic engagement. We aim to foster thoughtful dialogue and encourage listeners to think critically about the information they receive from all media sources. Project Censored is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and does not endorse or oppose any candidate for public office. We have a lot of tools, resources, and information over at our website at projectcensored.org. Please also follow us on social media just before we get deplatformed at Project Censored. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
About a criminal minds, political ties, habitualized alibis, disguise, another guise of democracy, politics, and the apocalypse. Got the skies looking ominous, so the ocean burn bright with waves.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
Join KBOO round the campfire. Become a member during Camp KBOO's summer drive, now through June 29th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
Tune in to Locus Focus, a weekly conversation about our place on the planet, every Monday morning at 10 on KBOO Community Radio. Each week, host Barbara Bernstein talks with local, regional, and national experts, activists, and policymakers about climate change, river protection, the transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy, salmon restoration, forest management, and all the other things that are critical to protect our planet. That's every Monday at 10 a.m. on your community radio station, KBOO.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:01 a.m. Next up is Veterans Voice.
Give me love, give me love, give me love. sisters and brothers, welcome to Veterans. Forgot the microphone. I'm sorry.
Portland calling. Sisters and brothers, welcome to Veteran Voice Radio Show on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, 104.3 FM Corvallis, 91.9 FM in Hood River, or on the World Wide Web at www.kboo.fm. I'm Arvin, and Ty is the engineer, and I appreciate him coming in and doing this for us. I want to say hello to Gary and Darley in Nebraska, who've sent me some pictures of their rally that we went to on Saturday the 14th in Lincoln. It was pretty good. And Kathy out in Aloha, out in the suburbs of, in Aloha, who I think she went to the rally in either Beaverton or Hillsboro. And to Mitty and her wonderful grandchildren, and to my buddy Jim in Gresham. A lot's happened since I've talked to everybody, and I just want to say it's really important to have good friends to talk to when you're having trouble in your life. And I'm very lucky to have some really good friends to help me when I go, you know, off the deep end. They're very, very helpful to me. Right now we're in our summer membership drive, and it's really important to keep this radio station on the air. And you folks keep us on the air. I also donate every time we have a drive. I always donate because it's important, it's very important. So there's a couple ways you can do this. Well, actually, you can either go to kboo.fm/give and do it that way, or you can, on the mobile app, you can text KBOO to 44321, or like I do, you can mail it to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. And I'll be saying this again during this hour, but I wanted to go back to my friend helping me out when I was very, very depressed, and she was wonderful, and she helped me a lot. And I was having trouble. I don't watch TV a lot, but I turned the TV on. It was I went to OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting, and they were doing this great show on animals, and you know, I live in the forest, so I have a lot of animals around me, so I like to watch that. And I was watching it, and somebody went to Vietnam and went through a trip, and they were talking about this village, and it was really interesting. You know, they showed people walking around in this village, and it was a village out in the provinces. And I was watching that. I don't know if I'd been in that area before. I probably have, one of the trips I'd been back to Vietnam in. And they were talking about, the food, which is wonderful in Vietnam, and the people, who are also wonderful. And then they said, then they went to this graveyard and had all these graves of soldiers that had been killed fighting the Americans, and they were talking about, there was like 150 of these graves, and they showed the front of them. They had the name and their age, and the ages was like 15, 14, 13, and it just really got to me. And then I start thinking about what's going on in Gaza, and how many children and the elderly, and and just everyday people that are being killed in Gaza, who have been killed in Gaza and continue to be killed in Gaza by the Zionist-ran government of Israel. And I just started thinking about that, and then I started thinking about Sudan and all the people starving in Sudan because of these war they have going on, and how these people aren't getting the food to eat and are being killed by both sides of the fighting in Sudan. And it really got to me. It just made things come back about Vietnam. And I was having a really, really hard time. And I called my friend, and she said, come and meet me. And so I met her, and we talked, and it was really hard, but it was very good because she's very good at things that like this. And we talked for a couple hours, and you know, I just let it all out to her, you know. And she said, do you want to go up to the VA and go to mental health on the VA? And I said, no, I don't think I want to do that yet. And she said, well, think about it, you know. And we started talking some more, and I told her about what happened. I told her about things happening in Vietnam and how Gaza was really bothering me. And now I got that worry. Now I think this is before Israel attacked Iran. And but I didn't. It hadn't happened. But when I was talking to my friend, and she. But I just came back to me all the stuff in Vietnam and all the death and destruction of Vietnam, and you know, 98% or 95% of all deaths in war is civilians, and of that, a whole bunch of them are children. And so she told me, okay, if you don't want to go up there, you know, call your mental health provider. And I said, okay. And so I called my mental health survivor, and they changed my meds around. I take meds for depression. They changed my meds around, and I said, you want to go up to the VA in mental health? I said, no, I don't think so, not yet. And they said, okay, if you need to, you know, you can go up there. And so then my friend says, you got to get out of town, because the big march was happening on Saturday, and this happened on Friday that I went into depression. And she says, okay, then you got to go see your brother. My brother lives in Yahats. And so I said, okay, I'll go see my brother. So I called my brother up, and I says, I'm having a hard time, I need to come down. And he says, okay, good, that's good. And so she was sitting with me, and she said, well, that's good. Now you got to... See, my brother lives in a little house, so I always stay in a motel. It's like, you know, less than a... Well, maybe 2 football fields away from his house. And so I said, okay. And she asked me where I was staying. I told her, so she called him and made me a reservation for a room right on the beach. And then she called my brother back and said that I was having a hard time, that I was coming down. And then, like I said, my brother said, okay, you know, it's a good idea to come down. So after that, we sat and talked for another hour, I think. And then I said, well, I better go home and you know, get stuff ready to leave in the morning. And so I drove home, and I didn't sleep. I took my meds like the doctor told me. I took my meds and everything. Then I didn't sleep much that night. And then I got up early, called my brother, and said, I'm on my way. And so I drove down to Yahats, I don't know if you know where Yahat is. It's just south of Newport and just north of Florence. It's right on the ocean. And so I got there Saturday morning and sat and talked to my brother and my sister-in-law for a while. And my brother said, well, Portland's rally looks like it's going to be huge. And it was huge from what the television said. And so he said, well, we're going to go to a rally here in Yachts. And I said, well, I don't know if I want to go or not. And he said, well, it's not very big, and it's really, it's good. We'll stop and get some coffee and a roll or something to eat. And I said, well, okay, I'll go. And so we went up there, and right on 101, because 101 goes right through Yachts. And it's a really small town. And I said, well, okay. So my sister-in-law and my brother and I went up there and stood there with a sign. I don't know what mine said. And I was surprised. There's about 400 or 500 people showed up in this little bitty town of Yachts. And it was really interesting. But, you know, it was just like here. You know, the people had the same signs, the same desire for change, you know. They didn't like Trump, which I can understand. And it was just very good. It was only, I think it only lasted maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, but it was very good. I talked to a lot of people, and I met another Vietnam vet there, and we talked for a little bit. It was pretty nice. And then it was time people started, you know, walking off. And the cars that would come by, I would say 99% honked and gave the thumbs up or the peace sign. And you know, you got a few people coming through who, you know, give the thumb down and, you know, and the middle finger and everything, but there was very few. And there were a lot of children in the cars who waved, which I thought was really interesting. And there were a few children there at the rally, but not, you know, not a lot, because mostly it's a retirement where people go to retire. But that helped me some, knowing that there's people out there that believe just like I believe. And then after that, we went and had lunch, and I spent two nights in Yachts and spent a lot of time down on the ocean, you know, thinking things over, and it really helped me. It calmed me down and kind of centered me, and that helped a lot. And then I came home, and it's always nice to come home and be in your home and, you know, have all your stuff around you. While I was down there, we never turned the TV on, and that was really good. And even in the motel where I stayed, I never turned the TV on, never listened to the radio. And that was very helpful to, you know, center me down. And when I came home, I was ready to get back into it. And that's what I did. I got back into it. The one thing that I was thinking about, I'm drinking water here, kind of water. When the National Guard was sent into Los Angeles, it really bothered me a lot. And then when they sent the Marines there, active duty Marines to Los Angeles, which is completely nuts, because they're not trained. They're trained for war. They're trained for war. where the National Guards also train for war, but I think they also train in crowd control or something like that. But the Marines, they're not. They're trained for war. And when I heard them say that they were going to use, that they sent the National Guard in to Los Angeles, the first thing I thought about was my buddy Joe Lewis. And Joe Lewis was one of the students that was shot by the Ohio National Guard on May 4, 1970. And he's the first one I thought about, because that could happen easily with National Guard in Los Angeles. And all the, you know, when the people in Los Angeles were making a statement about, you know, our sisters and brothers from Mexico and other places, you know, they were right. What this government's doing to our sisters and brothers is just, it's criminal. It's criminal. And we have to help them. We have to help them. And when they sent the National Guard in first, that just made everything worse. Because I remember when they sent the feds here in Portland, when George Floyd was murdered by the cops, and they sent the feds in here, everything got worse. A lot worse. You know, we got more tear gassed. We got shot with rubber bullets. It just made everything worse when they sent these feds in. So Los Angeles, but they down in Los Angeles, they were facing guys with guns. They're not supposed to. The Posse Comitatus Act is to keep those people out. It's not, you know, it's to protect us. But they didn't care. Trump doesn't care. He doesn't care. And Governor Newsom, he was right, you know. He's the one that calls the National Guard in or out. But Trump sent those men and women into Los Angeles. When the ICE starts arresting people, they get no due process. When you get no due process, that can just lead to other things. First, you know, I've seen on the internet people doing the poem, you know, first they came for and I didn't do anything, you know. And that's the truth. That's the truth. You know, when they don't do due process, the law's gone. They'll do anything they want. Not only do they told us they were going to arrest only criminals, you know. They decide what a criminal is, I guess. But what I saw, these are people who work, that came here to work. You know, to help us, help our economy. One of the things that my brother sent me on the internet, it was like this thing saying, okay, now all you folks have these jobs, you can go out and get you a job, and, you know, where they're not going to go to the fields and pick vegetables. They're not going to go to the orchards and pick apples and pears and peaches. That's our sisters and brothers that come up here to have a job, to feed their family. Are they leaving their country because of political violence? That's why they come here. I mean, there's you know, I'm sure there's things happening, and those are the people who should get due process if they break the law. But they're not getting that due process when these guys come jumping out of vans with masks over their faces and take everybody, take American citizens, just because their skin is brown or black. They just grab them and take them. That's a real problem in our country right now. And if we don't stand up and support our sisters and brothers, you know, there's a problem. Here in Portland, there's people down at ICE, down at the ICE compound or whatever you want to call it, down on McAdams. They're making a stand against what's going on. They're getting tear gassed. I think I heard that they were having rubber bullets shot at them. But they're making a stand down there against taking these people away. In Portland, on the 14th, they had a huge rally here in March. Oh, man, when I came home, I read about it, and I went on the internet and saw what it was happening all over this country. If people were standing up and making a statement. And that's our right. That's our right as a country, as a people. Taking a stand against the craziness in the federal government and some state governments. But that's our right. It's our right to do it. And the federal government coming in and trying to take that right away from us is definitely not gonna, it's not gonna stop us from doing what's right. And I'm proud of Portland. I'm really proud of Portland, but I'm also proud of all the littler cities around our state that came out on the 14th. And there were some small states, cities that did that. I don't know how many people, Cable listeners, listen to our friend Dan Handelman, who passed away. Dan was a great guy. He was really a great guy, and I was really sad to hear that he died. He did Cop Watch, and he did, what was the other one? Peace and Justice Works here in Portland. He was just a great guy, all-around great guy. And he stood up for what he believed in, and he worked really hard at it. You know, if you ever saw Dan once, you would never forget him. He was that much of a great guy. And there's going to be a memorial for him on the 28th. It's going to be Dan Handelman Memorial. It's going to be down at Clinton Street Theater at 2522 Southeast Clinton Street. And that's Saturday, June 28th. It's from 10 in the morning till noon. So if people want to go down there and see, you know, be part of Dan's memorial, would be great. Because he was such a great guy. I've known Dan for over 30 years. And I met a lot of people that does stuff like Dan's, but Dan was really into it. I mean, that was his life. That was Dan's life. You know, being a peace activist and being Cop Watch. You know, it was a bad day when Dan died, I tell you. And I'll never forget him. I'll remember Dan forever. Because the way, you know, when I got in trouble last year for down at the the waterfront when the warships were here. Not this year, but last year. I went down this year too. But last year when I got in trouble and had to go to court, you know, Dan's the one that came to me. He was there when it happened. And he came to me and he says, here, you need to call Kenneth at this number. And they were, I'm trying to think of the name of the group. I can't think of it right now. But they took my case and they did really good, you know, and I won my case. But I did go down this year again, down to the waterfront when the warships were here. And it was a pretty good group was down there. John Grushow, who's down, you know, John Grushow's a great guy too. And he organizes it and everything. There was a lot of people down there. I was really surprised how many peace activists were down there on the waterfront by the warships. A lot of good signs, just people. I would say most people either agreed with us or didn't have, you know, they were wanting to go on the ships, you know, look at the ships. We got a few, you know, people who gave us the sign with their hand, but most of them were just pretty good, pretty good. We were there for quite a while. And I brought, this year I brought a banner type thing that we had used 30 years ago in the Navy ships. It was a yellow background, a black warship, and around it was roses, red roses. And the line through the middle of it was red roses. And we'd used that during the first Gulf War. We hung it over the Burnside Bridge. I believe it was the Burnside Bridge. So I found it at my house. Well, it was in my barn. And I thought, wow, I want to bring that. And that's what I brought. It was, you know, people looked at it and people took pictures of it. And I did go back down where all the tents were and ask them if they were recruiting our children. And, you know, they said, no, we're not doing that. Well, we're not doing that. And the Marines were there and they had this pull-up bar. You know, that was their big thing, pull-up bar. You do all these pull-ups. And I said, you're not trying to recruit children using that, are you? Oh, no, we're not doing it. And just as I was talking to the Marines, there was a little bitty kid. His dad had to lift him up to get a hold of the bar. I said, what do you call that? And they didn't say anything. Didn't say anything. And then I walked over to the ramp where people were going up to see to get onto the ship, and there's like all these officers down there. And I said, you're not recruiting children, are you? And oh, no, we don't do that. And I pointed like the line full of kids. And they said, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. We don't recruit children. And I thought, you lying. But it went off pretty good. I did get called. Cops did get called on me and everything. So, but you know, we did it. We did what we thought we had to do, and it was pretty good. They had a group down there that did skits about the Navy, about the military Navy. It was really pretty good. It was really good, and I thought that they did, you know, they did a good job. So, but I did that. And let me see, I got my list here that I want to talk about. Oh, during when our brother George Floyd got murdered, we had all these rallies about it and the cops, and it was just horrible. But on the Apple computer area downtown, there were these murals painted that had George Floyd, and they had pictures of other people who had been killed by the cops. I think there was like 19 panels down there. I'm not sure. But what's happened is that they've taken them down and they've put them in storage instead of them getting, you know, just thrown away. They've been taken down and they've been put in storage, which is a good thing to keep them, because that was such a horrible time. You know, our sisters and brothers with African descent, you know, a lot get killed by the police, and we have to stand up for our friends. And that's what we did. That's what Portland did when George Floyd was murdered. When George Floyd was murdered. And we had, you know, Portland did it. Portland stood up. But that's really proud of them. And, like, I remember when that was going on down there at the federal courthouse or whatever they call it. We were down there. I remember they had area fenced off. And as I was walking back up to where I'd parked, there was a picnic bench out in the middle of it, and there were three cops were sitting there eating. And so I thought, well, I'm going to ask them something. And I said, you guys need to stop killing our brothers and sisters. And the cop said, well, I haven't shot any black people. And I said, yeah, but you support people who did. And then they didn't say anything. They just started eating again. And I think that we have to stand up and tell, you know, confront these people. We have to do it. It's just not, you know, when our brothers and sisters of African descent gets murdered by the cops, we have to say something. We can't just not do it. Well, another thing that I know I'm jumping around talking about different things, but what time is it, Ty? Do you know what time it is?
It's 9:38.
What?
9:38.
Okay, let's go ahead and play that second song. I'm rattling on here, but I think it's important that we have music, because that's what helped me too. I played a lot of music. Here we go.
I've been waiting for something to happen, for a week or a month or a year, with the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lives in the balance. Thank you.
a shadow on the faces of the men who fanned the flames of the wars that are fought in places where we can't even say the names. They sell us the president the same way they sell us our clothes and our cars. They sell us everything from youth to religion, the same time they sell us our wars. I wanna know who the men in the shadows are. I wanna hear somebody asking them why. They can be counted on to tell us who our enemies are, but they're never the ones to fight or to die. And there are lights in the balance.
Yep, they're selling us their wars. I got a few things I want to talk about real fast. That one of the things that's really interesting to me is that the NAACP is not inviting the sitting president to come to their convention, and it's the first time that they haven't done that. So they're not inviting Trump to their convention, which, you know, that says a lot. That's when the NAACP doesn't invite the sitting president. That's pretty interesting, and I think that was really, really good. Also, you know, our friends are. Friends, our sisters and our brothers in the trans community is really getting hit hard right now. You know, our trans brothers and sisters are getting kicked out of the military now, which they were able to serve in the military, but now Trump's kicking them out. And the hotline for the 988 hotline for LGBT plus folks is being cut. You know, the youth really, you know, that hotline's been used a lot, but they're cutting that back down too. And that's a real problem, you know, for people to that happen. And 26% transgender and gender questioning students, you know, 20% last year, 26% attempted suicide. 26% committed attempted suicide. And now they're cutting a suicide hotline for folks. That's a real problem that they're doing that. Like I said, you know, they're kicking our brothers and sisters in the uniforms out, transgender folks. You know, this government that's in charge of us now is just destroying a lot of wonderful things that's been put in to help people, everyday people, and it's been closing them down, kicking people out, firing people. Even the VA, the Veterans Administration, has been hit pretty hard. And I was listening to the radio this morning that they changed the veterans' home mortgage, the way home mortgage works for veterans. So a lot of veterans had home loans through the VA because the VA promised to take care of us once we were out of the service. You know, that's how they sucker people into the service, is by telling them, well, you're going to get this and you can get this, you know, and now they're cutting that all back. And with them firing people that work for the VA, it's making everything slower for us. With less doctors and less nurses and less everything, including people who, administration folks that make the appointments and do all of that, when they're cutting those back, when they were, you know, they promised that they'd take care of us and our families, and cutting that back. They, George, almost said George Bush, but Donald Trump doesn't care. He doesn't care. You know, and J.D. Vance and all those other people that, you know, are controlling our lives now, they don't care about what happens to us. All you have to do is listen to the news. But the home loans, there, when the home loans, when people started during the COVID trouble, a lot of veterans couldn't work, and they, you know, they got behind on their mortgage payment, like everybody, you know, a lot of people did. But the VA, there was a program to help them, the veterans, to help them keep their homes. Another program that they could refinance and do all this stuff for them. But that's been cut. That's been cut. And they, in how they, you know, now the chances of vets losing their homes is pretty high. That's a pretty terrible thing. But it happens not just to veterans, but it happens to other folks too, losing their homes. But the VA made a promise to us, and they're not keeping that promise. And that's...
Yeah, hold on.
Okay, Ty's got something. Is it? I don't know. Somebody called in.
She has information for you. Do you want
to... Yeah, let's take it. We're going to take a call.
Talk on the air with our host. Okay, all right.
Ready? Hello? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Who is this?
Hello, I'm Edie.
Hi, Edie.
Saturday, June 21st, that's tomorrow,
okay.
There's going to be a global day of action.
Whoa.
The Global Network Against Spyware.
Oh.
And military spyware.
Ooh.
So these are the four things they're hoping to accomplish.
Go ahead.
One, demand bans. Governments must impact strict bans on the sale and use of invasive spyware, and not, of course, have them use it on us.
Right.
Two, corporate accountability. Companies developing these tools must be held legally responsible for their misuse and must be subjected to divestment worldwide, and they must disclose what it is. Three, mm-hmm. public awareness. More people need to understand how spyware threatens democracy and human rights. And four, collective action. Activists, journalists, citizens must pressure policy workers to ban spyware before more lives are ruined. The spyware is used for targeted and untargeted killing, silencing, violating human rights, and that is happening right now in Portland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm. So what, it's on Saturday the 21st. What time?
Yes. I don't know the details of what's local. You can look at the BDS, Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions, net website, and then look around and see if anyone else is doing. You could read that website and alert people. You could even say that on air.
Yeah. So give me the website again, please, Edie. BDS.
BDSmovement.net.
Okay, movement.net. Got it.
This is the dangerous rise of military-grade spyware, global day of action.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Edie. I appreciate you calling in. And you're the first caller that I've had that I've talked to in a long time. So thanks for calling in and got the message.
I've been listening to you. I don't even know how many decades.
That's true.
And I just want to say my heart goes out to you for your compassion and passion, your integrity, your trauma, and your truth telling. And we need more of that. I think you have helped save lives by preventing folks from getting caught up in the military ambush lies. And you are making a difference. You are helping those of us who have always been opposed to it know about it. At 1 o'clock today, there's going to be a webinar for folks. There's the Resist US-led Wars movement in Portland and around the world. And you've helped inform that. So I hope when you get so tempted to be frustrated, that you realize you are making a difference. You do matter. You do belong. And I do appreciate
it. Oh, thanks, Edie. I really appreciate it. And
okay.
I hope to meet you someday. So
you do.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. That was really good because there's a lot of things that are happening in Portland that people need to know about. And you know, I got just a few days ago there was no attack on Iran, and it was the Party for Socialism and Liberation, and it was a really good rally. It wasn't very large, but it was very good, and the people who talked and who put it on, Dan Shea talked. And who else was it? There was a member of the Party for Socialism and Liberation talked. There was an Iranian man who talked. And Mike Pisner talked. And the information they gave out and talked about was very interesting. I wish more people could have been at that rally. It was up right at the office where Ron Wyden's office is. And that's where the rally was held. But it was very good. I would, people should look up these people because they're really, really a good group. I was talking to some of the people there. And it's the Party for Socialism and Liberation. And you could, if you want to get a hold of them, you could go to portland@pslweb.org. And I talked to one young woman, Amelia, and it was very interesting to talk to her. There was a lot of, what I liked, it was both women and men, a lot of, you know, mixed. Mixed. And there was, let me see, what was a Palestinian woman was there. And I talked to her just a little bit. And she had a great Palestinian flag. And I told her about on my pump house out in the mountains where I live, I have a Palestinian flag on it. I have a Vietnam Veterans Supports Palestine. I have a Black Lives Matter hanging there. But, where I live, up on that hill where I live, is very liberal. The people up there are very, very liberal. And it was, you know, it was, I feel comfortable. Nobody would take my flag down or, you know, marked up my signs, but, you know, we're liberal. I just want to mention again about, we are in our summer fundraiser, membership drive fundraiser, and it, you know, like I said before, I support it. I donate money every day, and it's going to end on Sunday, June 29th, and we're going to raise $50,000 to keep us on the air. You can go, you can donate through kboo.fm/give, or you can text to KBOO. You can text KBOO to 44321, or you can do like I said, $1,000. You can mail your check to KBOO at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, Oregon, 97214. And that's a good way to do it. How much time we got left? I can't. Ooh, not much. While I was at that rally for the Party for Socialism and Liberation, the Iranian man was giving out these postcards that you can send in to, you know, these warmongers in Washington, D.C. And it's on the front, it has a red bloody hand, and over it it says, "No war on Iran." No war on, you know, they're using the same fake, Israel's using the same fake, you know, weapons of mass destruction. And all these intelligence agencies come up and say, they don't have weapons of mass, they don't have nuclear weapons. They don't have nuclear weapons. Israel has nuclear weapons. And they're attacking and killing. They're assassinating it, mostly, and they're killing all these civilians. So, I'm trying to see. It's time to go out. I had so much more to say. We'll be back on July 18th at 9 a.m., and there it is.
I've been waiting for something to happen, for a week or a month or a year, with the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. There's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone, and there are lies in the balance.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. The time is 9:59 a.m.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU